First of all, I wish to thank you for the questions we have in the question box for this evening, but we could use more. Our present meditation has a long title, The Conversion of America to the Eucharist by Forming the Eucharistic Faith and Love of Children. The Conversion of America to the Eucharistic, or to the Eucharist, by Forming the Eucharistic Faith and Love of Children. It is always risky to use superlatives, and most risky when, as here, the superlative applies to the whole world. What are we saying when we say the greatest need in the world today is to form Eucharistic faith and love of children? What do we mean? We mean that what the world most needs is to believe in Jesus Christ. Indeed, to believe that Jesus Christ is on earth in the Holy Eucharist. The world needs to love Jesus Christ, who is with us in the Blessed Sacrament, offering himself for us in the sacrifice of the Mass, and present within us in Holy Communion. In the measure that this faith and love are nurtured in the tenderest years of children, to that extent will Jesus Christ continue working the miracles of grace he performed during his visible stay in Palestine. Oh, how we need to hear this. Christ is the capital T, capital H, capital E, is the miracle worker. But there are no miracles unless people believe in him. My plan, therefore, in this conference is to briefly first summarize the Church's pedagogy of the Holy Eucharist over the centuries, then explain why parents and teachers should develop the Eucharistic faith and love of children from infancy to adulthood, and finally provide some guidelines to children how to grow in their faith and love of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. First, then, the Church's pedagogy on the Holy Eucharist. We know already in the first century of the Christian era, the Church was concerned to teach the faithful from their earliest years the treasure of God's love, which the Savior gave to his followers in the Blessed Sacrament. Believe me, these are not words. They have the profoundest meaning. I can prove that from experience. Never for this sinner, we're speaking to you. I speak on the subject which I am talking, unless from the earliest years a widowed mother had brought up her child in a deep, profound faith in and love of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. When errors arose as early as the year 100 among the real peasants, the church's defenders who became martyrs made it clear that the Holy Eucharist is Jesus Christ. Don't just talk about Christ. Don't just write about Him. You believe with your whole mind. You believe that Jesus Christ is on earth. Not coincidentally, the Eastern churches gave Holy Communion to infants on the day they were baptized, as they still do. In about the year 1000, heresies arose which openly denied that Jesus is on earth in the Blessed Sacrament. These heresies were condemned by popes and general councils. Surely, symptomatic of our times, Pope Paul VI issued a historic encyclical during the Second Vatican Council, the doctrine called the Mystery of Faith, had never been done before. I dare say it will never be done again. Well, the Pope issues an encyclical for the whole world during the meeting of a general council of the Church. All the Pope did, but he felt he had to do this, was in the encyclical Mystery of Faith, which he verbally repeated the profession of faith in the real presence demanded by his predecessors from a thousand years before. The reason for this unusual encyclical, the only one ever issued during the meetings of a general council of the Church. By the time he published this encyclical, millions of Catholics were being challenged on the Eucharistic faith in today's widespread climate of skepticism. In the 16th century, the rise of a militant Protestantism challenged the Eucharistic faith on a scale never before experienced in history. And that is still going on today. Thus, in the 16th and 17th centuries, there were martyrs happy I am to identify the Scottish martyr, John Ogilvy, put to death while offering Mass. His feast on October the 14th. Since the 16th century, the education of Catholic children has had to, I repeat, has had to stress the real presence and the Mass as never before. Why? Because of the penetration of so many erroneous ideas about the Holy Eucharist. Ideas that began, we all know the date, in Martin Luther broke with the Catholic Church. He a Catholic priest for 15 years. Gave up his faith. Within the next generation, six large nations lost their Catholic faith entirely. And the basic error of Martin Luther, who published over 40 volumes, the basic error was his, Luther's, denial that a priest can change bread and wine and the living Christ. That's all there is to Protestantism. Having taught Protestantism over 25 years, my Jesuits in their theology, and then state universities, I told my students the basic error of Protestantism is the denial that a priest, a validly ordained priest, can change bread and wine into the living Jesus Christ. We get some idea of how things have become confused once we realize what Pope St. Pius X had to do to restore the Church's practice of early and frequent Holy Communion. 700 years before Pius X, a general council of the Church prescribed First Communion to children are reaching the age of reason. But in the height of the heresy of Jansenism in the 17th century, religious men and women, thousands of them, were known not to receive their first Holy Communion until thousands had reached their dying year, or given Holy Communion as a viaticum when they were dying. Coming to our own day, the two popes, Paul VI and the present Vicar of Christ, John Paul II, have been of an almost a militant in their insistence on sound Eucharistic education. Oh, how this is necessary to emphasize. The whole of Paul the Sixth Encyclical, Mystery of Faith, is a plan for clearly teaching the faithful about the real presence. All the liturgical progress made in the late last generation will be lost. So the Pope says, unless Catholics from their earliest years understand that the Holy Eucharist is the presence and sacrifice of Jesus Christ on earth in our day, on August the 12th of the previous year, speaking to over 500,000 young people in Denver, Pope John Paul II told them, I'm quoting the Vicar of Christ, your pilgrimage will lead you to Christ present in the Holy Eucharist, praying before the Blessed Sacrament exposed. You can open your hearts to Him, but you should especially listen what He says to each of you. This is Jesus Christ present on earth. Christ's special words to young people are the following. Do not be afraid. Come, follow me. Who knows what the Lord will ask of you young people of America, sons and daughters of Europe, Africa, Asia, and Oceania. So the Church's Eucharistic pedagogy has gone on for 2,000 years. Aimed especially at the young. It is very simple. From infancy, and the younger the children are, the more important their teaching. From infancy to adolescence, young people are to grow in their faith and love of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. I began serving Mass at the age of 10, serving Mass at 6:30 in the morning. What are children to be taught? They are to be taught and trained to realize who Jesus Christ is. He is a living God who became man, and this Jesus Christ is physically, geographically, really, completely now on earth, present in the Blessed Sacrament, offering Himself in the sacrifice of the Mass, received by us, His body, living body, in our bodies, in Holy Communion. Now, a large question. I would not, as I never have, give this meditation to men why develop the Eucharistic formation of young children, especially their mothers, their sisters, and while they're teaching in school, their pupils. Why develop the Eucharistic formation of the very young? The reason is because our nation needs, believe me, this is the literal truth, our nation needs, the whole nation, from New York to California, from the highest northern reaches of Minnesota to southern parts of Texas, needs, desperately needs, a moral conversion. During his talks in Denver for the World Youth Day, Pope John Paul told the young, pray that America might not lose its soul. Millions of once believing Catholics are no longer Catholics. The soul of America is Christianity. Christianity is a principle, that's spelled P-L-E, of our moral life. As our nation becomes more increasingly de-Christianized, it loses more and more of its source of life. Lest the moral disease be cured, America as a nation may still be called the United States, but as a nation will disappear. But there's another and deeper meaning to America's danger of losing its soul. Individuals lose their souls when they die estranged from God. Hear it and believe it. Our faith tells us we must be, our souls must be, in the grace of God when the body dies. Otherwise, the soul is very much alive when the body dies. If the soul is not alive with God's grace when the body dies, that soul, we believe, goes to hell. There is such a thing as a second death, which means everlasting separation from God, in what Christ calls eternal punishment. This, underlined in my notes, this is the awful prospect awaiting not just single persons, but whole societies, unless they repent and return to the God from whom they have separated themselves by the stubborn insistence of refusing to obey His will. I repeat, I prayed and asked the Lord, should I give this homily? Heavenly, I thought I should. Next subsection is called Sin-Laden America. It is remarkable. What a dream. What a mad dream worldly people can be living in. By all material standards, America is a very prosperous nation. In terms of financial wealth, the United States is the envy of the world. We Americans are the best fed, the most expensively clothed, the most comfortably housed, the most conveniently transported, most lavishly entertained, large nation, not just in the world today, but in human history. I may have told you this on some occasion before. The average number of deaths of starvation in Africa is 100,000 every month. But the United States is also a world leader in sin. I like St. Augustine's definition. St. Augustine says, is nothing else than to neglect eternal things and seek after temporal things. That's all sin is. In other words, the very appearance of our country in having access to so many satisfying creatures here on earth is a demonic reseduction that lures people from the love of eternal things. We are deeply, deeply in love with the things of this world. When I say war leader in sin, I mean this in describing America literally. Not satisfied with world leadership in adultery or contraception or fornication or sodomy, American State Department for months before the UN Cairo conference broadcast to all nations, I'm quoting, the United States believes that access to safe, legal, and voluntary abortion is a fundamental right of all women. Unquote. Well, the whole world was taught for months by the media of the United States. We are still answering the question, how develop uterus deformation of the young? Our answer comes in two parts, because otherwise our young Catholics will become what the American peers already are, in large measure, victims of an anti-Christian militia that dominates our media and political system. Most of our young people are trained from infancy in the most subtle paganism ever taught the young in any nation. Again, because we enter the 21st century, how desperately we need a well-formed, a deeply committed and prayerfully motivated Catholic leadership, which means the children and the young people of today. Dear Lord, I am deeply concerned on the eve of the 21st century what the world will learn from the United States young persons now because of what they are being taught. 90% of the Catholic schools in America have closed. We go on. We ask ourselves, why Eucharistic formation? To anyone who does not have the Catholic faith, it is simply meaningless to associate the Eucharist with the moral revolution going on in our country today. But to those, I hope I'm speaking to the right people, to those who have the fullness of the faith, of the true faith, the relation of the Eucharist to heroic virtue and massive conversion is not only meaningful, it is, and I mean this, indispensable. The key to this relationship is miracles. I've taught the theology of miracles to Jesuit theologians for over 20 years. What am I saying? I am first of all saying that except for the Eucharist, no one can remain faithful to Jesus Christ and the moral demands he makes on his followers. I repeat, without the Holy Eucharist, no one can remain faithful to Jesus Christ and his moral teaching, which is demands of his followers. Secondly, I am further saying that except for the Eucharist, God will not convert a multitude of souls that are now estranged from his love. And I include, with resounding emphasis, millions in our own nation. In both cases, it is Jesus Christ, the wonder worker on earth in the Eucharist, who must perform the necessary miracles. He must work the miracle of not being clever, of not being pious when I use the word miracle. Christ must work the miracle of infusing heroic courage. He must perform the miracle of converting millions of Christians, once believing Catholics, in the modern world. Remember what we're talking about. It reminds you of the question of why must the Eucharistic faith and love be nourished among Catholics from their earliest years? Oh, please God, meet together again after we've died on earth. In order to prepare all of us to die in God's friendship, we must make the young people, and the younger they are, the more important it is, channels, I use the adjective deliberately, channels of miraculous grace, what I call a godless world. This is a principal message to you today. Train, whether they are your own children or children of other parents, train them in the Eucharistic faith to become, and they better become, living martyrs of Christ in the next century, which is only a few days away. In the early church, the expression was coined, sanguis martyrum est semen Christianorum. The blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. Unless there are martyrs, Christianity will die. Do you hear me? The blood of martyrs that keeps the true faith alive. If that was true in the first 3 centuries of Christianity, even more true in our day. Christ needs martyrs. I say that with all the strength at my disposal. Christ needs martyrs willing to shed their blood if need be, and who do share their acceptance by the world. They give up their acceptance by the world of loyalty to Jesus Christ. Oh, what books I could write. What things I could say. But the price you have to pay, no matter what your position of the church may be, you can be a layperson. You can be a bishop. You can be a priest. You teach, you live the true Catholic faith, and you will pay for it dearly, and you will pay for it deeply. I swear that is true. In this same early church, which we call the Church of Martyrs, daily Mass, daily Holy Communion, were the accepted practice for Catholics, and that included children. You might object, One was the age of the catacombs. And here you say, that was the age of the catacombs. That what you said, and be enlightened you. Anyone who wants to really, honestly, sincerely, wholeheartedly live his or her Catholic faith today must. I repeat the verb must be ready to live a catacomb existence in the closing decade of the 20th century. I swear that is true. Over 30 years working with the Holy See has taught me many things, most of which